Good morning, Fellowship Church. I'm a little shorter than the other Jonathan, a little browner, but my name is Paul Valdez, and I'm the executive pastor. Our pastor, Jonathan, is visiting Hope Church this morning, so I'm just excited to be here with you guys. Love you guys, and I'm excited to just share a word with you, something that the Lord laid on my heart a couple of months ago. It's about conscience, and so before we get started, I want to pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for blessing and anointing Jonathan and the whole worship team in bringing us to a place before you, God, to receive a word. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that is abounding, and I ask that it would move in a powerful way this morning, that you would make me your vessel of truth, God. I pray that the words that are spoken from my mouth would be pleasing before you, and I pray, God, that you would open up the hearts of my brothers and sisters here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever been around someone who had just recently given their lives to the Lord Jesus? A new believer? Have you ever been around one? They're excited, right? I mean, they are so excited, they can't contain themselves. They've got this new life. They have been set free. They're no longer under the curse of sin and condemnation. They are now a new believer who's going to one day be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. I love it. I love being around them because I feed off of their excitement and their joy. There have been times, though, I have to confess, when I've walked away and I've had to just kind of reflect on my own spirit and think, why am I not that excited about telling people about Jesus? What happened? Why am I not that zealous for the Lord as that new believer? Well, I think it has something to do with our conscience. You know, we're, as believers, we're no longer citizens of this world, but we're still in the world. And so we still have to wrestle with our flesh and the spirit. You know, and I know that God has given everybody a conscience. In fact, the other day I was driving down FM 150, and I saw in the distance a car that was pulled over to the side, and this lady was running towards me along the side of the road, and I was like, I wonder what she's doing. And then I saw this object that was over here on the side, and I thought, oh, maybe it's like a baseball cap. Maybe it flew out of her car, and she wanted to go and pick it up. And as I approached it, I realized it wasn't a baseball cap. It was a turtle. And the turtle was trying to make its way across 150. Now, I mean, you played Frogger before, anybody in the Frogger generation? I mean, a turtle has no chance to make it across. So here comes this lady, and she grabs a turtle, and she just runs it across the road, and she just places it out there, and then she runs back, and, you know, I wave to her, and I just thought, oh, that's really sweet. Well, it was funny because she starts to walk away, and she's wearing this T-shirt. And on the back of it, it has like all the tour dates of the band that she apparently likes. And at the top of this list of tour dates, it says, Disturbed. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting name, Disturbed. And then so I continue to drive, and then the car that she got out of, the back of it is just plastered with all kinds of bumper stickers. I mean, you could barely even see the window. And you got a pretty good idea of what her worldview was based on those bumper stickers. And let me tell you, it wasn't really positive. So, you know, as I continued to drive, I started to reflect on our conscience. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, here's someone who obviously has a negative view of the world right now. But yet, she couldn't drive past this turtle. She had to pull over, and she went to get this turtle, and she took it across. And I was just reminded how our conscience, it's powerful. And everyone has one. In fact, we read it in Scripture in Romans chapter 2. It says that all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law, they will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So you see, that conscience, it exists in everybody, whether you're a believer or not a believer. And it can be a very strong tool in making us either be hindered in what we're called to do, and equally so, it can also be a strong tool to embolden us to do things that the Lord calls us to do. So if we have people in the world who don't know Jesus speak so boldly and give their beliefs, it makes sense to me that they don't have to have God necessarily as their foundation for them to do those things. But what I want you to walk away today with is to ask yourself, well, why don't I have that same boldness for the things of the Lord? What is holding me back from that original excitement when you became a believer? And so let's read from Paul what we can do to have that same boldness for the Lord. So we're going to look in the book of Acts, and we're going to read from chapter 24. And just so I can give you some context here, we have the book of Acts. And throughout the book of Acts, we get to see the beginning ministry of Jesus Christ and the fact that he's now risen from the dead. And so his apostles are out there, and they're excited about what the Lord is doing because the Holy Spirit is now in them. And so the apostle Paul is one of those, and he is going everywhere. He doesn't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile. He doesn't care what place or location, or he's in the temples, and he's telling people about Jesus and who he is. And the Jews don't like it. They don't like it because now this control that they had, all these laws that they were following, well, now there's somebody else that's talking about this freedom from this law, this grace. And so the Jews, they conspire and they end up trying to arrest the Apostle Paul, and they do. And they hold him over, and he's in prison for a while. And so eventually he ends up in front of these authorities, one of them being Felix, the governor. And so this is where we're going to begin reading in Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one named Tertullus. And they laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him. And he was telling the governor, 'Governor Felix, since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and in everywhere we accept this with all gratitude.'" So can you see there's a little kissing up going on here? "But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man," pointing to Paul, "to be a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout all the world, and he's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him. The Jews also joined in this charge, affirming that all these things, they were so. And when the governor nodded for Paul to speak, Paul stood before them all, and he boldly spoke. And he says, 'Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense.'" Now, keep in mind, he was in prison. And he says, "I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. And they did not find me disputing with anyone or even stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards both God and man." So this is the answer, church. If you want to be bolder in your faith and what you believe, you're going to have to take great pains to maintain that clear conscience. And it's not easy because we have a lot of things in this world that are trying to distract us. So I want to give you some practical advice as we look to God's word and being able to be strong in the Lord and maintain that clear conscience. The first thing that we want to talk about is what not to do. I know, sometimes we don't want to talk about those things. What you believe is our foundation. This is very, very important. And we're going to look at a few verses before I get into some examples. The first thing is Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." No other gods before me. How much time have you spent with the Lord this week? Yeah, that could be your little g god. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ." In this day and age, we are bombarded with all kinds of ideas and beliefs. You just have to surf the internet for a few minutes, and there you have it. Another verse that we can look at is Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so there's a huge difference here, because before you knew Jesus, you basically had to make your conscience choices much based on your worldview and traditions and maybe your upbringing at home. But we can see now that as a believer, we have our conscience that can be measured against what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do, what His Word is. So we're not to be conformed by the world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and reading His Word. I think this is a really sweet example of the importance of knowing where your belief lies. This Friday, we went to a piano recital, and it was a real sweet, sweet time. And one of the little girls that was playing, she just got baptized a few months ago. And she was playing the piano, and all of a sudden, she stopped. And you could see her face kind of getting red. And then she looked back at her music sheet, and she found her place, and she continued to play, and she finished. And we all applauded, and you could just see her. She got up, and she ran straight into her daddy's arms. It was the sweetest, sweetest picture I saw. It reminded me that that's what we, when we know who we believe in, you know what? We're going to make mistakes, sometimes because of our own sin and sometimes unintentional. And I got to see a picture there where we can just go back to His Word and get right with Him, be quick to confess it, and then we get to go back into His loving arms. Amen? Amen. The other thing that we need to be careful is what we look at. In Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, "I will not set my eyes before anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." Guys and ladies, everyone, there is something going on in this generation and this culture that is just rampant, and I see it a lot, and that's pornography. And it breaks my heart because those images that we look at on computer screens or on the devices, you name it, there's so many ways to see it now, those things cling on to you. I don't care how strong you think you are, but it distorts our view of our sexuality. It distorts the view of how God designed a man and a woman to be together in marriage. And when you do those things, it hurts your relationship with God. And it distracts you in your relationships, even with other people, especially if you're married with your spouses. So I just want to encourage you, don't give in to that. Keep your conscience clear. Another thing, I'm looking at young men and young ladies here. I know that gaming is very popular. I have a son who loves to play his game, Fortnite, and I have to keep a constant watch on him because I can see that it sometimes changes his attitude. And we can see that with a lot of these kids, that they start to get disconnected. And relationally, they don't even know how to interact with other people. And you can find that they end up being moody, and they're just hypersensitive to the things that they've been watching. Guys, I want to encourage you, ladies, don't put your eyes on things that are worthless. The other thing is what you hear. How many of y'all believe that what you listen to can change your thinking? Yes. Yes. Story. Many, many years ago, I was a fitness instructor, and then Jesus got a hold of me, and so I continued to teach this kickboxing class. I remember being in there, and this particular day, it's because it was in a season of really getting sanctified by the Lord, and I just remember the words to this song just really standing out to me, and I was like, what am I playing for these people in my class? I mean, a lot of them are already dealing with self-image issues, and I'm playing music about sex and alcohol and drugs and how your boyfriend's gonna cheat on you. I mean, it was awful. And so I went home and I was like, oh God, what am I gonna do? So I started to look for music that was Christian, that was mixed, because it's still, you have to have a beat in these classes, otherwise people are all over the place. I couldn't find mixed music that was Christian-based or that was even glorifying to the Lord. I found one CD out of like thousands. That was kind of boring, I'm sorry. The mix just wasn't doing it. And I just finally I quit teaching because I didn't want to be responsible for putting that stuff into those people's ears. But I do want you to remember, though, that even though I felt that conviction, other people may not. And we're not the Holy Spirit for those people. That was just something that God was doing for me. And so I just want to encourage you to be mindful of the things that you're listening to, whether it be through music or television. You know, there's so many ways for you to control that. And then the last thing here is, you know, an area where we can really have our conscience blurred is in what you do. So in James 1:22 through 25, it says, James 1:23, thank you. So I don't have it memorized, okay? but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away at once, forgetting what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but actually a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I can't encourage you enough to work out being obedient to what God would have you do. You will be blessed. One of the areas that I see a lot of people struggle with in maintaining this clarity of conscience is holding on to unforgiveness. And that will make it so hard for you to be strong in your message of who the Lord Jesus is when you hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. And I really like the lyrics to this song, and it goes like this. It says, forgiveness. It's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. And there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really sets free is you. I heard a story this week of an 80-year-old man who showed up to his authorities to confess that he was the one that actually committed a murder 50 years ago. 50 years of wrestling with this conscience of having done that. And you know what's so devastating about that story? They found someone else to accuse, and they found him guilty, and he was incarcerated for that time. You had two people in prison because of disobedience, because of lying. One of them was imprisoned in his mind, and the other one was imprisoned literally. I just want to encourage you to be obedient to those things that the Lord calls you to. This week, we had our elder meeting. We meet once a month. And Jonathan, he sends an email out and reminds us that we're to fast for that day before we get together that evening. And I dread the email when it comes through. I don't want to fast. And so I'm always thinking to myself, it's going to come. Maybe he won't have us fast this time, you know. But sure enough, the email comes through. And it's crazy how fast our minds work, because immediately I start thinking, okay, what can I have? All right. And the first thing I think of is coffee. Okay, I can still have coffee because technically I'm just drinking something. I'm not eating anything. So there I go on my way to Starbucks. And I'm like, I can do this fast. I'm going to get my coffee. Well, it doesn't work because my conscience starts to wrestle with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reminding me that it's His grace that is sufficient for me. You don't need that caffeine. So I'm like, oh, turn around and go the other way. I don't have my coffee. But you know what's so crazy is when I get to the elder meeting that night, I have a clarity of conscience that no one else knows about, because that was my battle with the Lord, and that was what He called me to do. So you know what your battle is, each and every one of you. Give it to the Lord and have that clarity of conscience so that you can be bold for the things that He calls you to. So let's talk about some actions that help us to maintain a clear conscience. The first one is to spend time with God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still." Kind of awkward, right? Be still. It shouldn't be. God tells us to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Psalm 19, 1 through 2 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims His handiwork." When's the last time you went for a walk without anything, no technology, just you going for a walk? When's the last time that you went to a local hike and bike trail or sat by the river and just looked at all of God's creation? I know you say you're busy, but those are very precious times where you can be reminded of God and His presence and His handiwork. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. When I was ordained a few years ago, I was given this gift to journal. It's become so precious to me because it has helped me to slow down. In the morning, I'll write out my prayers based on whatever word I've been spending time in. And what's really good about writing it out is that I can't write as fast as I think. So I have to slow down. By its very nature, I have to slow down. And in that time of slowing down, I'm able to really reflect and meditate on who God is and what He would have for me. Have you ever had a conversation with God? Have you ever talked to Him and even answered back to yourself? I know that sounds a little strange, but if we have God's Word and He speaks to us through His Word, why are we afraid to affirm and speak back to us His Word? If I'm sitting by the river and I'm rejoicing in all of His creation, why can't I sit there and go, "Yes, God, yes, I hear you. Paul, I made this so that you could see my glory in everything. I made this so that you could have a place where you could have peace." So I think it's important for you to start having that kind of relationship with the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so I want to encourage you to start doing that. Okay, raise your hand if you want to be God. Okay. Well, are you stretching or raising your hand? I said B. But you know what? I appreciate that, brother, because I think all of us, we can fall into that being God mode. And one of the ways that I believe really moves us into that position is this little thing right here. You know why? Because with this little thing, I can look up and see what's going on all over the world. With this little thing, I can be communicated to by brothers and sisters in Germany, Africa, Romania. I can be texted, I can be Snapchatted, I can be messengered, I can be Marco Polo'd. Apparently that's a new thing, you know. All those things, man, it can be overwhelming. I mean, I don't want to be God. I really don't. But I feel like this device has kind of made me into this mini God where I have to be available at any time, or I have to be in the know of every single person's life. My mind can't handle that. And quite frankly, I don't think any of our minds. That's why we see such a large amount of people more depressed than ever before. So I just want to encourage you to turn that off, you know, and when you turn it off, say, you got this, God. You got it. I don't need it right now, okay? Another thing is you spend time in the Word. Hebrews 4:12, it tells us that the Word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is living. I'm holding something that is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I can't even count how many times I've been reading God's Word, and boom, I just start crying because God reveals my heart, and it's not very pretty. It's not. But I thank God because he loved me enough to show me and to move me out of that position. Another verse that we can consider is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, all scripture. What's that first word? All. We don't get to pick and choose what scripture we like that's beneficial to us. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's why Paul was able to stand so boldly before his authorities. He spent time in the Word. He knew who Jesus was. Here's another one. Spend time with good company. I praise God that you're here this morning because you've decided to spend time with good company. These are people who love you. We're amongst brothers and sisters who are striving to know more about God's love so that we can love others. And I think that's beautiful. How many of y'all are in school? Students? Yes? Students, and yes, okay. And do we have anybody graduating in this? Because I think there are. You're graduating. Congratulations. It's applause. Yeah. So I have a word for you. Find good company wherever you go. That is going to be such a vulnerable time for you. And so I want to challenge you to use that first month and don't let it go by, and you find a solid group of Christians who can be a good company for you. We have also groups here at Fellowship Church that meet throughout the week, path groups. We have ministries where you can serve. Those are also opportunities for you to be in good company. But I know what you'll say, you're busy. You have a very busy schedule. So here's something I want to challenge you with for this summer. Look at your schedule and look and see if there's anything on your calendar that you can take off and replace it with something that is going to bring you closer to the Lord, that's going to be profitable for you. I'm not talking monetarily. I'm talking about not being rich, but being enriched. Find that group even if it means you're going to take it off and you're going to spend time with the Lord, praise God. But find that group that's going to move you closer in community with the Lord. And then lastly, serve others in love. This can actually help you to maintain that clarity of conscience because you're working side by side with brothers and sisters who are doing things out of love. And this is very important. There is a difference. The love that we're looking at here is called agape love. It's unconditional love. It's love that's not based on you give me something, I give you something. No, this is love that is birthed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of love that you want when you're serving others. That's the kind of love that's going to help you serve others with a joyful spirit. How many of y'all have served out of guilt? Okay, nobody's serving out of guilt. Come on now. Remember the disobedient thing I talked about? Okay. When you serve out of guilt, and this is how you'll know, when things don't go well, you get an attitude. When things aren't working out the way you would like them to go, you're upset, you're trying to control it, you feel tired, you want to quit. But when you're doing and serving others out of love, even in your weaknesses, God's Spirit will carry you through. It doesn't matter how inadequate you feel or think you are. It doesn't matter how tired you are. When it's done through the Holy Spirit, He's going to get you through it. So what are we supposed to do with our clear conscience? Well, let's look at Mark 12, verse 30 through 31 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this," as Jesus was telling his disciples, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these." So let's take a moment to just pray. I'm going to give you some time to just in the silence of our room as Pastor Jonathan comes up with the worship team. And let's reflect on those things in your life that have hindered you, that have affected your conscience. Let's bring it before the Lord. He's faithful to forgive. So let's spend some time doing that so that you can walk out with that boldness to love God and to love others with that clear conscience.